Welcome back to Diamond Gems. I am your host, Jacob Coates, and today I am alone. I was actually about to say I am joined by, because that's normally what I do, but this is a solo episode. It's just me, and it's also probably going to be a pretty quick episode. I just have some thoughts on spring training I'm trying to say here. Got some shit on my mind, you know? Mostly that people are caring too much about spring training games, and that's going to be kind of the focal point of this episode, I guess, is to just talk about what you should take away from spring training games for people that don't really understand what spring training is about. You know, people maybe getting into baseball. I'm going to tell you why you should watch spring training games and what you can take from them. And that's basically it. So, like I said, I've seen a lot of people, mostly younger people, I'd say, that just seem to be caring too much about the individual results of spring training baseball games. A lot of overreactions to player slow or hot starts. That's starting to bother me a little bit, but I think that it's partially coming from just a place of being starved for baseball, which you shouldn't really be right now, because at the time that I'm recording this, the WBC is going on and it's been awesome baseball for the most part. There's obviously been some dud games where teams are a little unbalanced, like in the semifinals right now with USA and Cuba. Cuba basically was a product of making it through a shitty pool in Pool A, and now they're getting exposed. But if you're starved for baseball, and for whatever reason, I mean, the WBC is ending in a couple days, so you're just going to have spring training for the next week before the regular season starts, I guess. So there is still things to like about spring training, things to watch, reasons why spring training baseball broadcasts are still entertaining and, you know, has some value in them. But let's start with the more negative side of spring training and really why spring training games don't matter at all. And when I say spring training games don't matter, I mean like the games themselves, like the result of said games, like the outcome, the final scores. That stuff does not matter. Some of the reasons it does not matter: 95% of the time, it is not your opening day lineup that you're going to see. So basically, you know, the people that are filling out the order on defense and on offense, on the mound, behind the plate, everywhere on the field, there is a lot of people that are on these teams in spring training games that are not even going to be on the roster at all throughout the course of the season, and in a lot of cases ever in their career, because there's a lot of like career minor leaguers that are like, you know, 28, 29, and this is like their last shot to come up and do something, and the organization is sometimes just showing them respect by like being like, come to spring training, like, thanks for being an organizational guy for your whole career, you know? So there's a lot of people like that are playing in it that really are just never going to crack the roster. So their input and impact is going into these games in spring training, and their impact is never going to be felt in a regular season game. So that obviously kind of is a big part of why the outcomes are sometimes just completely irrelevant. A lot of individuals in spring training rather than teams, you know, like individual efforts, people working on their individual games. For example, there's a lot of strategy that comes into like a regular season game that often doesn't come into play in a spring training game, because, you know, in certain situations, maybe the play calls for a sac fly. You're trying to hit the ball deep in the air just to drive the guy in from third base. Or, you know, you're trying to get a bunt down to move the runner over. Well, in spring training, a lot of the time guys have their very specific like things that they're trying to work on, and they're bringing that to the plate every single time. So even if the situation calls for a sack bunt, they're probably not bunting. They're going to be doing whatever else they're trying to do that's part of their plan for getting ready for the season. So that also affects the game. You know, it's not the same strategy going into the games, and it's a lot of individual stuff when, you know, baseball is a team sport, and you are, like, you got to win and die as a team. There's not as much teamwork going on in spring training. Like I said, too, just a lot of nobodies playing in spring training. Like, the actual amount of nobodies playing in spring training is actually quite crazy, especially early on in spring training. And, like, the big-time players are, you know, playing one or two at-bats and then getting out of there. A starting pitcher will go maximum, like, two innings, and then you're just filling in the back end with a bunch of guys that are never going to have a big league impact. So, yeah, I mentioned that. Just a lot of randomness as well is another thing I wrote down to touch on here. Whether that be players, strategy, and just other variables, that there's just so much randomness that isn't part of the regular season that affects these games. So keep that stuff in mind. Another thing, I guess, that you shouldn't put too much stock in is the actual individual performances. So individual performance is often something that, you know, people are looking at, getting worried about. If, you know, say, for example, the Blue Jays just acquired Dalton Varsho this year. They gave up quite a bit to get him, and he has not had a very good spring training so far. He's a guy that I've been watching because I'm, like, trying to see what he looks like. You know, I haven't seen him play before too much, and so far I'm not liking what I'm seeing. But you shouldn't be putting, I can't be putting too much stock into what I'm seeing in spring training. Because, like I said, a lot of the same things I just said kind of apply to individual performances as well as, you know, the team and the game outcome. But, you know, for hitters, a lot of the time the pitcher is just coming up looking for, you know, one pitch in particular. So maybe Varsho in, like, hit all of his at-bats in one game was coming up only looking for the fastball. He was just sitting on the fastball. If he doesn't get that in the at-bat, or he doesn't get a good one, maybe, you know, he's striking out looking, or he's taking a defensive swing with two strikes and popping up, something like that. You don't really know what an individual is going up to the plate with in mind, and that affects the results. And, you know, to some degree, yes, people are looking for a single pitch in, like, regular season games too, but that's more of, like, a strategic, like, I think that this guy has, you know, a shitty changeup, and maybe I can take advantage of that. Whereas in spring training, it's like, last year I had trouble hitting the changeup, so I'm waiting on the changeup so that I can try and work on hitting a changeup in a game situation. You know, it's also another thing too, is the fact that this is a small sample size. This is like a month of worth of at-bats, and usually less than that, because it's not like a full, you know, it's not a full April where a guy would play every single game in April. They're playing like maybe two out of three games. It's like not an entire game. You're playing like six innings and then coming out of the game. So it's a small sample size. And one thing that baseball fans know is that hitters are streaky. They go through, and I mean pitchers too, players in general, just tend to have hot and cold times. So Mike Trout, for example, I'm sure he's had an 0 for 20 at some point in his career. You know, and if Mike Trout has that in spring training, his spring training numbers at the end of it, because it's a small sample size, would come out not looking very good. But that doesn't mean that Mike Trout isn't going to go, you know, 14 for 20 the next month. So overall, at the end of the season, when it's all said and done, over the course of 162 games, things tend to level out. Whereas in spring training, it's just such a small sample size that if you're having trouble getting started, you're just having a tough month, that's reflected in your final numbers. So important to keep that in mind as well. And then another thing is just, you know, this is like your warm-up for the season. So you're getting loose coming out of the off season, and some guys are just not that comfortable at the plate yet. They haven't exactly found their rhythm. They haven't found their timing, and they're working on trying to get that going. So a lot of people are slow starters as well. So something else to keep in mind. Another thing that I actually didn't make a note of, but I just thought of, is like I mentioned before, there's so many random players in these games. For a hitter, it's kind of like you need to consider that they're facing pitchers that are so deep in the farm systems that their organization that they play for might not even have like a scouting report out on that guy yet. So you step up, you're the first guy to face this guy coming to the plate, and you maybe know like what pitches he throws, but you have no idea like what the depth of the curveball looks like, you know, really the overall velocity, stuff like that. There's guys that are just buried so deep that there's just not a lot of information on them. Whereas in the big leagues and the regular season, you're generally getting more players who have a lot of information out on them, and hitters can use that and take that information and kind of build a game plan going into the at-bat, whereas in spring training, you're kind of winging it a little bit more. For pitchers are always working on new things in spring training. One of the interesting things in this spring training has been like watching how pitchers and hitters are adjusting to the pitch clock, which has been a huge change and is a reason you should watch spring training games. If you haven't yet watched any games with the pitch clock, it's interesting to watch it unfold. And also, you know, the broadcasters are talking about it pretty much in every game now because it's just like a topic of conversation since it's so early into this rule being implemented. So you should definitely watch just to kind of get a feel for that as well. But back to what I was saying. Other things pitchers work on are, you know, like their pitches, like one specific pitch. Like today I'm going in there, I'm just going to throw a shit ton of fastballs and just work on getting my feel for my fastball. Their sequences are different. So sometimes they're even just going up there with like easy rhythm just to really start practicing on things. Like, you know, I need to work in three curveballs this inning. That's it. Like, you know, like the pitch sequencing is much different than what it would be in the regular season. A lot of people just working on practicing individual pitches rather than throwing pitches that are going to get the specific hitter that they're facing out. Guys move around on like the rubber, kind of test out some new positioning, stuff like that. They're working on release points, trying out some different grips on new pitches. They're also getting accustomed to the catcher that they're working with. You know, that's like a big thing. If you're unfamiliar, there's pitchers and catchers have very unique relationships, and they need to be on the same page all the time. And early in a relationship between a pitcher and a catcher, obviously that connection isn't as strong at that point. Like they haven't fully understood. You know, you're just not necessarily exactly on the same page right at the beginning because you haven't been working with each other for as long. So that is another factor that plays into that as well. And then also pitchers are on pitch counts at this point in the season. So maybe trying to be more efficient to get through more innings or, you know, just not going as deep into games and not being able to correct mistakes that they make early in the games because they just get pulled. So, yeah. Another thing I want to point out too is like the competition level is lower in spring training than it is in a regular season. The talent level in spring training is lower than it is in the regular season because you're not facing as many people that are actually like big leaguers. You're facing a lot more minor leaguers. So one thing that I've noticed is there's been a lot of talk around Jared Kelenic, who, you know, came up as a big time prospect and has actually had like a historically bad start to his career. He's got a lot of opportunity and has not really done much with that. He has a really high strikeout rate. His big league numbers at this point are just not very good. But in the minor leagues, Jared Kelenic has like incredible numbers. Like he's a superstar in the minor leagues, which is why people thought, you know, okay, bring him up. He's crushing it in the minors. He's going to carry this over to the big leagues. Well, he hasn't actually been able to really carry that over to the big leagues yet. And I mean, I'm still hoping that he will. Obviously, I'm a supporter. But my point is, he's having a very good spring training and people are excited. They're like, oh my God, he's finally breaking through. But the thing is that he's facing so many minor league pitchers right now. He has really good numbers in the minor leagues. So what makes you think that this spring training is any different than being in the minor leagues? You know, you're still facing a lot of those minor league quality pitchers, and he's already had success against them. So my point is that you can't take everything you see, all of the results. There's just too many factors and randomness to go into the spring training games. You just can't put too much stock in an individual's results. You definitely shouldn't put any stock in the outcome of the games. And some things that you should watch for, though, like I mentioned, like this year especially, it's interesting to see the rules. Following the pitch clock is really interesting just to see how it breaks down. It's also interesting to watch like the hitters and pitchers and like how uncomfortable some of them look with it. I think that's probably declining a little bit now. People are getting more used to it, more deeper in spring training at this point. I'm interested to see actually if like the people coming back from the World Baseball Classic are going to have issues now because there's no pitch clock in the World Baseball Classic. And they only have like, they're going to come back and only have like 5 days to get used to the pitch clock again. So that'll be interesting to see. But the other thing that I generally watch spring training games for is just to see guys that I haven't seen before. Like I said, like I haven't really watched Dalton Varsho play much, so I was interested to just see what he looks like on the field. But then like prospects, that's always the big shiny thing in spring training, is watching your organization and other organizations, if you're a fan of baseball in general, not just your own team, just watching like what they look like. Again, like just, I keep using Blue Jays examples, but like Ricky Tiedemann is the Jays like number one prospect right now, big left-handed pitcher. And I didn't really know what he featured because I don't really follow minor league baseball. And, he comes up and he's, you know, he's throwing 99. He just looks like the eye test, you know. That's what I like to implement into my evaluation of spring training, is like the eye test. So I like watching prospects and seeing what they actually like look like, what their stuff looks like, what they bring to the table, and just having some excitement about that. And then again, not putting too much stock into the actual results that those individuals are having, but just like getting to see them is kind of fun sometimes. Another thing that's interesting is like the individual battles. Some guys are like really battling in spring training for a roster spot, and that generally comes down to like that 26th man on the roster. The guys, there's like normally like two or three guys every organization has that are battling in spring training for that final spot on the roster. This is normally like a bench spot, you know, like a utility guy, someone that can play like an extra infielder, an extra outfielder. Maybe they want to go shallower bench in a deeper bullpen. Maybe there's a guy that's like right on the fringe of getting called up to the big leagues that with a good spring training, his organization will reward him by giving him that extra roster spot. So that's always an interesting thing too, is just to see how those battles kind of play out. And over the course of the season, or over the course of spring training, you can kind of see the versatility that those guys bring to the team, understand what they could actually contribute if they were to make that roster spot. And then you can kind of like, you know, wish like, okay, this is the guy I think is best for the spot, and then see what the team does. And, you know, see if you're up to snuff, if you could be a GM of sorts. So it's another thing that I think is worth watching, is, you know, those individual battles. I think that that can be quite exciting sometimes. Also, you know, for the players and for you as a fan. Yeah. Another thing, I guess, that I like is watching guys come back from injury. An example is last year, Justin Verlander was coming off of Tommy John surgery. And, you know, he's making his return to the Houston Astros. And we hadn't seen him in a long time. He's like, what was he, like 39 going into last season, 38, something like that, like late. It was really late in his career to like get Tommy John. Like a lot of guys at that point would just kind of retire. But no, he got clipped and came back. So to see someone come back from an injury like that and watch like pitchers especially, like see their stuff, and see, you know, looking at the radar gun, seeing how hard they're throwing, looking at the snap and breaking balls, you know, the movement on a changeup, stuff like that is quite interesting, I think, because like we do our awards predictions, and stay tuned for that episode because those are always fun. And we're going to get Greg on our award episode coming up. But last year, after spring training, I was like completely sold. Justin Verlander looked like the Justin Verlander of old. His stuff was nasty. He had command of his pitches. You know, he's punching people out all over the place. And I just thought that, you know, if his stuff looks like it has in the past, he's been a perennial Cy Young contender. And, you know, the odds were pretty good that, or pretty bad, I should say, like pretty, he had a favorable return on if you were to place a bet on him being Cy Young. So I went ahead and did that, collected myself a nice, what was it, like plus 1500 or something like that. So it's fun to just like kind of see where guys are at with their stuff. And like rookie of the year, you can kind of do that sometimes too, because you can monitor like seeing if a guy is actually going to be like crack a big league roster spot early. Like last year, like Jeremy Pena for the Astros was kind of the guy that was supposedly in line to take over Carlos Correa's absence. Not absence, like he left the team. So it's not like he was hurt or anything like that. But interesting to see like how he progressed through spring training. He had a good spring training, so the team felt confident going into the season. Then you know that he's going to be like their starting guy. That kind of helps like the rookie of the year odds. You know, if a guy can get you if he can get regular at bats and he's like the go-to guy, like playing time is such a big thing for rookie of the year in baseball, that watching guys like earn those roster spots and earn starting jobs is also worth monitoring if you're into, you know, betting MLB futures. So that's something else you should check out. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I don't really have much else to say about spring training. It is what it is. It's nice when you don't have any baseball happening to just, you know, after the winter, like I'm always just so starved for baseball. I like to hear the pop of the mitt, the crack of the bat, you know, all of that kind of like background noise of fans and stuff in the ballpark. And it's peaceful. And I like watching spring training just for that. So I wouldn't say that spring training is completely pointless as a viewer. Obviously it's not pointless for the players. They're preparing for the season, but, Yeah, I don't hate spring training. I don't think you should either. As long as you watch it with a grain of salt, understanding that you don't need to live and die by the results of spring training, because more often than not, it is just not that important what happens in spring training. So I think that'll do it for this episode of Diamond Gems. You know, I hope you enjoyed kind of learning my takes on spring training. You should follow us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shape by Sports. Check out our website, shapebysports.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a kind review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on, subscribe to us on YouTube for video content. Yes, that's about it. We'll be back on Thursday.